Today is one of those shows, or is going to be one of those shows, one of those days where it's just easy. It's easy to talk about what we witnessed over the weekend. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We've got Angel on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And if you were annoyed, Angel, with the Buffs talk and the Buffs noise surrounding the program before Saturday, well, get ready, because depending on who you talk to, it's all over. It's a national story, maybe the story from college football over the weekend, and the Colorado Buffaloes found a way to beat TCU. Did that happen? Yeah, that happened, and the Buffs found a way to get it done. A lot to unpack with this. Where did we start? Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, Dylan Edwards, the players are there. A lot of playmakers on that field. Didn't need a defense. Shador's the real deal. I'm excited to watch him. I think he might, again, we got to see what happens throughout the course of the season. But I think he's the kind of guy that might translate to an NFL quarterback. Too soon to tell. Lot to sift through there. But you got two guys, at least in the Heisman talk. I don't know where that's going to go, but they're in the Heisman talk. Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Well, and hey, Travis Hunter played like 140 snaps on Saturday. That alone might have earned him my whole show player of the week presented by Zvi Brewing, but it was his stats and it was his numbers. So congratulations to Travis Hunter, the wide receiver, defensive back, football player for the Colorado Buffaloes. 11 receptions for 119 yards. One interception. Almost a second interception. Dropped it. He almost had a touchdown reception as well. So it could have been an explosive night. I think Primetime even said it. If he catches that in the end zone and gets that pick, then the Heisman is his already. Boy, there's a lot to look at here. Primetime, Deion Sanders. No question about it. Love him or hate him. Changing college football. He was the right hire for the Buffs, no doubt about it. It's off to an amazing start. I had a feeling. Yeah, I didn't pick the Buffs to win, but I had a feeling maybe it could happen. I don't know if TCU is that team. I've been tweeting that. I think they're going to be a good team. But we gotta just take it easy a little bit here. Just a little bit. I didn't have TCU going to the college football playoffs. You didn't have them going to the college football playoffs. I think they're going to be a fine team. They're nothing like they were last year. But that was a big win. The Buffs were 20-point dogs in that game, and they find a way to win. And it was electric. I mean, explosive offense. No question about it. And Primetime, would you say that he was humble after the game? I'm hoping to get this guest on the program tomorrow, Ed Werder, who is a UNC Bear. He graduated from the University of Northern Colorado. He's an amazing journalist for ESPN. He covers the Cowboys. He's covering Primetime, especially because of that connection. So he's going to be following along. Primetime at the end of the game had his press conference talking about receipts and everything. Here's what he had to say, and he was directing this directly to Ed Werder.
What's up, boss? You believe that? You hold on. Hold on. Oh, no. Do you believe that? Huh? Oh, no. I read through that bull junk you wrote. I read through that. I sifted through all that. Yeah. Oh, no. Come on. Do you believe? You don't believe. You just answered it. You don't believe. Next question.
So, this is what's interesting about this whole thing. Primetime, you and I like to talk about this. You'll keep the receipts. That's a cliche in sports now. And everybody's using that to a crazy extent after the Buffs win. You hear coaches say, you know, nobody believed in us. And you get some of that sometimes, but never to the level we are seeing here with Deion Sanders. And I think it's, I said this on the morning show on Good Morning NoCo with Tanner. primetime is both amazing for college football, and I'm not going to say terrible for college football, but he's not good when it comes to reporters and journalism in college football. Now, I've seen this trend over the years, personally, that college teams, programs, they hire guys, they hire writers, they got their radio crew. I mean, they want to keep and control the narrative. That's what all of them are doing now. Not to this level, though, to what the Buffs are doing. And to call out Ed Werder, who is a, I mean, he's an award-winning journalist for ESPN. He's a good dude. We've had him on the show before. To call him out and essentially tell him to tell everybody that he believes now after one game. First off, journalists like Ed Werder are not there to say, I believe in this guy or I believe in this team and I love the team. This isn't Denver media that is just slobbering all over the Colorado Buffaloes over the weekend. And listen, it's fun. It's great. It's exciting. I love it. I'm all in for whatever happens. I'm not like saying the Buffs are a national champion. But it's very entertaining to me. Wildly entertaining. And the football on the field was wildly entertaining. But where I think it's dangerous here is better not say anything negative about primetime or you're going to get called out in front of all your peers. I was texting back and forth with Ed last night and I was like, you know, hey, you're a great reporter, man. Hopefully you're not shaken by it. He's like, I've had worse. I've seen worse. I didn't like the fact that he was trying to pressure me into saying I believe in his program and that I wrote bull junk on Twitter. All he really said on Twitter, Angel, he basically said something like the Buffs hired a celebrity coach. That's essentially what he said. It wasn't that bad. I haven't read anything else, but
is he wrong?
That's the truth. Is he not a celebrity? Deion Sanders is a celebrity. Absolutely.
This guy has created this aura around himself, and whether that's current or just built off of his past career, where anything he says or anything he does is untouchable. And that if you oppose it, if you disagree with it, if you are, I'm not sure about that, you are labeled a hater, a doubter, racist in some instances. We've seen that, you know, with Brian Howell.
Yeah. Who's going to be on the show today?
And, you know, on the media side of this, I agree with you on the, from a journalist side, it puts pressure on journalists.
Well, what's going to happen when they lose?
Exactly.
You have to write something negative because they lost.
A journalist should not go into a press conference anxious about what a coach is going to ask them.
No.
That's not the whole thing.
He's changing the rules of this game, too.
Right.
And that's what I don't like, because I want reporters.
Coaches can disagree with the media and narratives, because Saban does this all the time. But he will never go after a single reporter calling them out in a room like that.
I want reporters to be able to be negative. I want them to write scathing stories.
They should be able to ask tough questions.
But not even that. I don't want this whole, I remember Kisla, and I'm not the biggest Kisla fan in the world, but George Karl always used to get mad because Kisla would write a lot of bad things about George Karl in particular, and then he wouldn't show up to the press conferences. Okay, fair enough. I get that. But I still want, and I'm not a Kisla fan. I've gone rounds with that man. But I want him to be able to, whether he goes to a press conference or not, I want him to be able to tell the truth in the way he sees it, without fearing that he's going to get embarrassed publicly. Our boy Kevin Lytle got embarrassed by Steve Adazio. I don't know if he actually felt embarrassed, but Adazio calls Kevin out in front of all of his peers, and then Van Pelt plays it on ESPN.
Well, what it's created is with Sanders is that he'll say something like pointing, okay, you, reporter, answer this question. And you'll hear the murmurs around the room like, oh, yeah, we believe. That's not a reporter.
That's not what you want. Like, I've said this a lot about CSU. Do you want guys just running around being positive about your program? Or do you want the real stories? And I'm telling you right now, you're an Alabama guy, Angel. In Alabama, they write both positive and negative, and that's how you grow the narrative. I had a tweet that just said this was bad, essentially, for CSU, and went nuts. People want to hear that stuff. but it also creates the conversation. If I'm just tweeting, bummer of a loss for CSU, doggone it, they'll get back at it next week. I believe in Jay Norvell and all of these guys. Like, I can feel that, sure, but if that was how I was every single week, that's not fair to people that follow these stories and these games. So I just think that, and I want to talk about the game. I want to get into all of that and just how good the Buffs can be. But I just think we're setting up this dangerous narrative. Not a narrative, but this dangerous game that primetime is creating of you're either with us or you're against us. And that's an old cliche, but he is taking that to a different level. If you're not with us, I'm going to call you out in front of a lot of reporters. They have a lot more than they did last year.
It's one thing to get a message out through the media to get to your team. We've seen coaches do this. They'll
sure.
say something
yeah.
like, okay, I'm saying this. This isn't towards the media. This is to my players. Whether or not they're listening, this is to them. That press conference wasn't about the players. It wasn't about the Buffaloes. It was about Deion Sanders.
It was. You know,
and that's what all of this is about.
Yeah, and that's the troubling part about this. For example, the Denver Nuggets were the most disrespected NBA basketball team that I've ever seen last year, and they won the title. Did Michael Malone go out of his way, and I'm trying to remember if he did, out of his way to embarrass any reporters that were covering him? He would speak in a generality or whatever that is. He would speak making a general statement about everyone's against us, but he wasn't sitting there going, you right there didn't believe. I don't think he did.
Was the LeBron retirement thing.
Right.
And that was just, the only thing he brought up. And he was kind of joking.
And he
kind of
called out a network rather than just an individual person.
Well, they're the only network that's covering this.
Yeah.
Covering the playoffs.
So I just hope, and listen, I am a fan of primetime. I want to say that very clearly. I find myself absolutely fascinated by everything he says and does. I just feel for some of these reporters now where, you know, I used to get mad when reporters would have to interview Greg Popovich at halftime and he would just treat them like crap. Then I'm like, punt the damn interview. Don't do it. Don't do it if he's not going to give you anything. I just don't like this idea that if I am not tweeting, and I'm sorry, we've got a network, it's kind of a blog. I have some of those guys on the show sometimes, but it's like a blog, podcast and stuff. And it's just like they're the biggest cheerleaders in the world for primetime. It's fans. Do you want fans to be at your press conferences? Or do you want reporters? Because if you want fans, then just tell all the reporters they can't come in anymore and just bring fans in to cheer you on as you talk.
Do they need more people to tell them how great they are?
No.
Prime, he's doing that on his own. He walks in that locker room and says, you guys are awesome. I'm awesome. We're awesome. You need 50 reporters to tell you the same thing on Twitter?
And why do we have to believe? I mean, why is it such a bad thing if somebody picked the Buffs to lose a game? It's part of the sport that we cover.
How do you motivate yourself if everyone's praising you?
Right. Well, and you'll create a narrative.
If you can do no wrong, what are you asking for?
And this whole idea that nobody believed? Get out of here with that. They were the most talked about team all year, ever since primetime was hired.
Are there doubters?
Yes.
Are there haters? Sure.
Sure.
That's sport.
There should be a healthy balance of both.
But to say the whole world was against the Buffs and no one thought you could win?
And then to also make it about, and again, primetime brings up the, hey, I'm an African-American coach coaching 75% African-Americans, and that makes some people uncomfortable. I have not heard any of that narrative being spewed by anyone.
No, because I look at your coaching staff as a whole. I see white, I see black, I see, you know, all kinds of people on a coaching staff.
The question
it's
was,
not just a head coach and a whole team.
Yeah, the question was, can you coach at an FBS level? Has nothing to do where you coached, just the fact that it wasn't at the FBS level. That's it. There was none of this, oh, well, he's a... I mean,
that
the Colorado
never
Buffs,
come up.
The last two coaches before Deion, Carl Durrell and Mel Tucker, what do those guys have in common?
If that was a big thing, it would have been brought up the first time when he got hired.
It's not a thing.
It would have been, CU hires a black head coach. But guess what? It's not breaking news because they've already done it.
That's not the news. The news is primetime is a larger-than-life figure that had success at Jackson State. Will it translate to this level? That's the news. That's the story. And, yeah, he says all this stuff. I'm bringing Louie. We come and we hear all this stuff. Yeah, it's a good headline. Is it going to work? And Yes, Angel, to answer the question, it's going to work. I'm telling you right now.
That's all we were wondering going into Saturday is, what is this going to look like? Yeah. Now we have a vision of it.
And now you beat TCU, and I guarantee his coffers are full of people wanting to come play for the Colorado Buffaloes. I mean, if I'm a head coach going up against primetime and the Buffs just beat me, and he's talking to players, and he's like a TCU player was like hugging up on primetime, I'm worried. I'm terrified. Yes, this is going to work. I'm saying it. It's gonna. I don't know if that means 12 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, whatever this season, but this is going to work because primetime has the it factor that these recruits, that these kids entering the transfer portal want in a head coach. He's got everything.
I'll give you that, and that there is no other college coach that can approach it like this because no other coach has that.
Nobody does.
So, in that, because he is so unique, does that in turn make other college football coaches start to promote a more traditional sense of recruiting? There's only how many spots are available for a football team?
Oh, it's like the roster, 80 plus or whatever.
Okay. You're not going to get 3,000 student athletes. Right. You're going to get 80, and that's what you get.
Yeah. It has my mind spinning because I'll tell you this, Angel. CU game, crazy. Driving to Canvas Stadium before the CSU debacle. And I'm seriously driving there, and I'm like, no matter what happens today, it will not touch the excitement level surrounding the Buffs. It's not sexy like that. I like Jay Norvell. I like the things he says. I like who he is. I like what he's about. I like Matt Mumme. Matt Mumme, to me, is an interesting character, an entertaining guy. But it's nothing compared to primetime. It is absolutely nothing.
Well, you know, just comparing it to a CSU level, we had two top 10 teams lose this weekend, and no one's talking about it.
Yeah. Boy, last night's game, too. Whew. Is Duke for real, or is Clemson just that bad?
I think both.
Clemson's
been on a downspin.
Hold on to the football. Just go score touchdowns and stop fumbling the football. Twice inside the five, they fumble the ball?
I'll tell you this. You Buff haters, doubters, whatever out there right now, I felt the same way about Clemson 6 years ago. I was like, oh, they're annoying. I don't like them. I don't like Dabo. I don't like their methods. That's not going to last. And now I'm here happy as a clam.
Oh, yeah.
I love nothing more than seeing Clemson lose.
Do you want to see CU lose?
Yes.
You're rooting against the Buffs?
Actively.
So you're rooting for Nebraska to beat the Buffs this weekend?
As much as I rooted for UMass to beat Auburn last weekend.
Whoa.
It doesn't matter. I don't like you.
They're in your sights now.
No matter.
They are in your crosshairs. It's over.
Not
for
as much as two specific Tiger teams.
But they're up there.
No.
They're
not in my top five right now.
Top 10 hated teams?
No.
Top 20?
Probably.
Okay.
You got to do a lot to tick me off on a college football scale.
Like I said, man, I'm in on this. I'm enjoying the show. It's entertaining to me. I just worry that it could get dangerous. And I'm talking dangerous, like, is Brian Howell, who's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour, is he going to be able to write a scathing article if they lose to Nebraska? And what does that look like if he does?
Well, he's already on the watch list.
He's already. He was called out. And Ed
Werder up there now.
So, like, Brian Howell is one of the more dedicated CU Buffs beat writers. Ed Werder is like world is country famous because of his ESPN work. Everybody knows that guy. Well, and those guys were called out.
You're turning the fan base and the viewers and the readers against these people who have been doing this for years. This guy just got here.
I am glad. And again, I'm not a beat writer. I don't need quotes. I don't do that kind of stuff. But I'm glad I don't write for the Daily Camera or anything, or the Denver Post today. You know, that Denver Post was always one of the dreams of mine growing up, was to write for the Denver Post. I'm glad that I don't have to be responsible for boosting this man's ego or tearing it down, because that would suck to be embarrassed in a press conference. It would suck.
When we talk about in a media sense, yeah, everyone loves to read positive news, but what gets more clicks? Negative stuff.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So as a newspaper editor, what do? Say, oh, we're getting a lot of clicks because everyone likes the winning stuff, but we're not getting as much as the losing stuff could get.
And I just don't, like, you're going to work, you shouldn't be worried. It's not high school. You shouldn't be worried that you're going to get embarrassed in front of everybody for doing your
job. To embarrass, like, it sounds bad, but as a journalist, your job is to embarrass. It's to expose the truth.
It's to write thought, you know, thought-provoking stuff, positive or negative. And again, I'm not defending all writers and journalists. There's plenty of them out there that are just gotcha people.
And there's a difference between an opinion piece and an actual story.
Edward are saying something about their celebrity head coach. Flipped him out. All right, 26 minutes after the hour. I'm going to bring on former Boise State quarterback. He was a head coach for Western Kentucky. He was an offensive coordinator for Boise State and the Colorado Buffs last year. And he was an interim head coach. Did get a win last year. Their lone win was because of this man. We're going to be bringing on Mike Sanford coming up on the program. Looking forward to catching up with him and at the bottom of this hour. I'll give it to him, man. He was fired. They moved on from him last year to hire Primetime. He is still promoting the Buffs and following the Buffs. So I want to get his thoughts on all this coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, we got to be brief here. We got the top 25 out already, and the Buffs are 25? Are they in there? I'm on the site now, Angel, and I'm not seeing it, but Brian just tweeted out a moment ago that they were 25.
I'm seeing this from Brett McMurphy. This is the AP top 25. That's his top 25. Okay.
They must not have theirs up yet?
Coach's poll is out. Colorado is at 25. AP poll will be released later.
Okay. Because I was going to say Clemson's still
at 9.
They're
putting in their votes right now.
How is Clemson still ahead of Duke? How does that work, Angel? They got killed by them last night.
Clemson's last championship was 2019. So 3 years
since. Some staying power?
I don't know.
Win a championship guarantees you in the top 25 for like 3 years, regardless of what the outcome is.
Wants to say it, but Clemson's been on a downward spin for the last few years.
That game was awful for them. Just awful. They can't hang on to the ball, drop passes.
Here comes Klubnik. Here he goes. Oh, intercepted.
And fumble. Intercepted.
Well, there's like two interceptions back to back.
Oh, my gosh. It was ridiculous. 32 minutes after the hour. Got a break. Game beer of the week is from Horse and Dragon, Adventure on IPA. Check that one out. Love a good IPA. Also this Friday, 4 to 6, they've got a wine tasting going on from Synergy Wines and Spirits. So I'll tell you more about that throughout the course of the week. 32 minutes after the hour, former Boise State quarterback, former head coach, former offensive coordinator, Mike Sanford going to join the program. Very much looking forward to this. But don't go anywhere. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show. Very excited about this next guest. I mean, his resume is a mile long. Mike Sanford joining the program, former Boise State quarterback. He was, of course, the interim head coach for the Buffs last season. Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate your time, man. Really excited about this chat.
Hey, appreciate you having me on, Brady. I expect that kind of applause, so pretty, man.
Hey, Susan and Cheryl back there, they're our live studio audience. We're like Full House here or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We got the live audience, man.
They're impressive. They can really generate sound. So yeah, they better be at the next CSU game to create some more noise. Man.
Oh my god! Especially in the fourth quarter for some fourth quarter canvas chaos too. Right?
No doubt.
Gotta love
no
that.
Question.
That was crazy. So much happened over the weekend, Mike. But obviously the lead story, those Colorado Buffaloes. How do you go about this? Because I know you are tweeting about this team, you're promoting this team, you're talking about this team. But that's got to be an interesting thing for you, because I was pulling for you last year. And then, of course, we get the primetime thing. How is that for you following this Buffaloes team?
Well, it's the first in my life. 18 years of college coaching, and I've never been let go, kind of in this situation. I've been a head coach before where I got let go of Western Kentucky, but this is a lot different because I was the interim head coach and served in that capacity. You know, so the other piece of it that was so unique, and I didn't know what to do over the last really 8 months with my fandom of CU and my support because of how many of those players I love that are no longer there. But then I watched the game on Saturday. I see Trevor Woods with a critical red zone interception, you know, a returner from last year's team. And he really looked like the best defensive player on the roster in terms of guys not named Travis Hunter. but even seeing two of the five offensive line starters from last year's team and Van Wells at center and Gerard Tank Lichtenen, I was really impressed with just how those guys played. And, you know, it was like I went in to everybody else into the offseason like, I have no idea what's going to happen. And I was, you know, I'm kind of in a point in my career like, if it's good, I'm going to call it good. If it's bad, I'm going to call it bad. And it was really good. You know, and I was extremely impressed. So just as a college football fan, which I've kind of pivoted into in this new stage of my life, it was really fun to watch.
Well, and I know you're doing some Boise State Broncos talk, too. I was actually listening to some of your stuff with Ball Talk with Sanford and Johnny. You do a great job on that, man. I mean, you've got this in the bag, like this career, all this stuff. I mean, you're excellent at it. So nowhere in your resume, too, to be able to talk football, who better to hear from than a guy like you?
No, I appreciate that. And it's funny, when I was a young kid, my dad was a college football coach. I used to say I wanted to play football and coach football as long as I could. And then I wanted to get into broadcasting afterwards. And, you know, it's funny, I forgot about that over the last 15 years because you're so inundated with just the daily tasks of being a college football coach and the recruiting and the game planning. But I'm having a whole lot of fun with it, just trying to grow, get better like all of us are. And I think having a chance to talk about Mountain West football and my alma mater, you know, on Bronco Nation News, it's just been really fun. It's been a joy. It's been something that is kind of a passion project of mine, and I'm looking forward to seeing where that takes, you know, maybe the next steps.
Mike Sanford joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Mike, with this Buffs thing, obviously, we say the proof is in the pudding. They get the huge win over TCU nationally. Everybody's talking about the Buffs. Maybe the biggest. We got the NFL kicking off on Thursday, and this is the biggest story, the Colorado Buffaloes. Prime time, there's so many different angles we can take here in discussing him, but, I mean, he's changing college football. I mean, he's absolutely changing how we're going to go about our business because of the way he's doing it, with that celebrity, with all of it, the buy-in he's getting from his players. I mean, wouldn't you agree? He's changing things, and I would imagine on the field it's for the better. There's some other things we can get into, but we've never seen anything like this.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, this is a college football. If this really works at CU and you know, the hiring of, you know, I mean, he's some time, but, you know, you're not looking at the typical, you know, 25-year career of being a GA, then being a quality control coach, then being a position coach, and then a coordinator, and then starting at, you know, group of five and being there for 7 years.
Angel, let's see if we can reconnect with Mike. We're losing him a little bit here. Definitely want to get him to chat about this. And people, don't forget, I mean, Mike was the interim head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes last year. He got their lone win. He was the head coach when the Buffs got their lone win last season. There was a part of me that wondered if maybe Mike was going to be the guy. Then obviously the primetime thing happens, and here we are. But what I like about Mike is there's no sour grapes. He's calling it like he sees it. He's enjoying this coverage or this team just like a lot of people were over the course of the weekend. But this primetime discussion is just one that is so interesting. Overall, Mike, we lost you. I think we got you back there. You were talking about kind of some of those things that primetime's bringing to the table as far as changing college football.
Yeah, it's a completely different paradigm. You know, I mean, just not the standard way of getting to a Power 5 head coaching position. Obviously, he merited that because of his playing career, because of his broadcasting career, and then obviously what he did at Jackson State, and, you know, making that relevant. And the thing that I was most impressed with about what he did, and most importantly what the team did, is they talked a big game in the offseason. I mean, I was like, this is not normal.
Right.
Like, nobody talks this way. But then they actually, like, came through on everything that they said against a team that played for the, you know, CFP title a year ago. It was obviously really impressive. You know, I think the thing that all of us as college football fans know is that we're going to watch, right?
But there is a lot of football left, and I think this Nebraska game is going to be an intriguing game just because it's a completely different style, you know, of a team coming into Folsom than what they just saw in TCU. You know, it was almost like TCU and CU almost like were the Spider-Man meme, just staring at each other, pointing at each other. This is going to be a little bit of more of like an O-line, D-line dominant type team, meaning that's where their strengths lie in Nebraska. Versus a team that, you know, has already proven to be able to score relentlessly in CU. So I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup. My question is going to be, can Nebraska keep up scoring-wise? And based off the first game against Minnesota, I would say absolutely not, but that's why you play these games.
Yeah, you're right. This is another one. Very intriguing matchup with Matt Rhule and of course, Coach Prime on that side of it. You said something interesting a moment ago, Mike, talking about how Sanders went about his career differently than most. I mean, you look at guys like Nick Saban and some of the great coaches in college football landscape, and even your road, what you did, moving up the ladder, progressing. Is there a part of you, and I wonder if there's a part of other coaches that are kind of like, man, that's not fair, the way primetime's going about it?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is if you win, you win, you know, and that's what really matters. And if you're, you know, intelligent enough to you know, to see that as a coach when you're in it, you know, I think game recognized game. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I was in a really unique situation early on in my career, just my third year as a coach, you know, where I worked for this guy that had been an NFL quarterback for a long time and just worked at a Division
1. Angel, let's try. Mike, do we have? We're losing you again. A little spotty there. Do we have you?
Yeah. Can you?
Try, Angel. Try. Tell me what you get. Talk to him for about 20 seconds here and see if the cell reception is clearing up just a little bit. Great stuff from Mike though, because again, you look at his resume. Started as a GA at UNLV, Stanford, then Yale, then he was a head coach at Western Kentucky. Then he goes to Stanford, he's a position coach, a running backs coach, a wide receivers coach, quarterback coach. Then he goes to Boise State, Notre Dame, Western Kentucky, Utah State, Minnesota, and then with his stop with CU. That's what a lot of resumes look like in college football and in pro football, too. That's a typical coaching resume, what Mike Sanford has. And again, when you look at the contrast of that with primetime, it's like, yeah, what, 3 years at Jackson State? And before that, media. I mean, he was obviously an amazing player, but it was the celebrity. So my next question for Mike, if we can get him back on, is does he see or do we see teams starting to do this more and more where maybe they're hiring guys that are more of a celebrity first? Mike, I think we got you, man.
Sorry about it. Hey.
I think, I don't know. I think we're losing you again. Mike, one more time. Let's try it.
All right. Can you hear me now?
I got you now.
Okay. Northern Colorado, man.
I think we lost. Did we lose him? Yeah. We might have lost him. Mike Sanford. We'll see if we can reconnect with him at some point. But I'm sure this is going to be a reoccurring segment for us. But we're going to go. We're going to talk to him. Aaron just said, every time I hear Mike on the radio, he's becoming one of my favorite coaches. I loved hearing him, like just hearing him talk and his speeches and everything. But Angel, what Mike is what a lot of coaches are. A lot of coaches are. They have a solid resume. They grow up in these programs, and then they create something and. Maybe they get a shot, or maybe it doesn't work out. That's what we see, but not what we're seeing in Boulder, which is just so fascinating.
It's fascinating, but I don't think it's a bad thing that coaches still coach or go about it the old way. Yeah, it's different, and they're adapting to it, but as I said, Deion Sanders is one of one. No other college football coach is going to approach it like he is because they just can't. So,
could Peyton Manning do what primetime's doing?
No.
I'm just trying to think of any football player that was really popular. Could Tim Tebow do what primetime's doing?
Maybe. Because it's just with those examples, Peyton seems more of, he's just the good old guy.
Yeah,
he's going to tell you.
He's not going to do the we come in thing. He's not doing that
Tim
stuff.
Tim Tebow could approach it a little bit differently. He could approach it with that kind of
motivational
energy.
And, yeah.
Not that Peyton couldn't, but he's just in a different.
Is there anybody close? Tom Brady?
Maybe.
Like if Tom Brady was announced the head coach for CSU today, do you think that would attract a lot of big name recruits?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what I was told about Ed McCaffrey, and I've made comparisons before, like the primetime thing is similar to that in the fact that UNC went out and hired a big name for this area instead of really going into the resume and what he's done in his career and all that stuff. This is a different example because Deion Sanders, of course, found success at a smaller school at Jackson State. So different. But there are some similarities there. What I was told about Ed McCaffrey, that he wanted to essentially be the general manager of a college football team. But he's the head coach, but he's the general manager. But he did call plays and stuff. But what primetime is he's the general manager over there. He's not the play caller. He's not calling play. He hired coaches around him to do that. What he is doing is he's the great overseer. And it's working because he has the name where he can promote his program and get people to his program. So what we're seeing with Deion Sanders is kind of what like a guy like Ed McCaffrey ultimately wanted to do, is be a general manager type guy. And I hire offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators to come in and really coordinate. Like a lot of, yes, every coach has an offensive and defensive coordinator, but there's still a side of the ball that they lean into. With primetime, he's just the overseer of all of this. And it's for one game at least, it's working. 49 minutes after the hour. Bummer. We'll get Mike Sanford on at some point. Maybe even later today. There's no rules here. Angel, we could talk to him in the 12 o'clock hour if he has a little bit better service, because I'd like to catch up with him. But we'll probably be doing this, hopefully, on kind of a weekly basis. 11:49 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
That was a fun conversation, what we were able to get with Mike Sanford. I'm sure we'll try to get him on maybe later today or later this week, whatever. But I agree with you, Aaron. I love hearing him talk. If he wants to get back into coaching, I hope he gets another shot. I had heard a rumor that maybe he was somewhat interested in the job up here, at Northern Colorado, but it just didn't work out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How many games are the Buffs winning? That's my tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. After the Buffs beat TCU, which I think a lot of us had that game pegged as a loss, does it change where you think this team? I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people saying, oh, where are the wins? I think they're a bowl team for sure. How good are they, the question is, and how good was TCU? We're going to find out in a couple weeks. Watch TCU games, too, and see kind of where they end up. Coming up tomorrow night at Shields, check this out. They're going to be promoting the Bears in a big way. You got the UNC Bears' first home game of the season coming up this Saturday. It'll be on KFKA, of course. But tomorrow, 5 o'clock to 7, it's an awesome event going on with Shields and the University of Northern Colorado. They're doing this. First 100 customers will receive a free ticket to the first UNC home football game on September 9th. UNC Athletics will also be giving out items to fans, and Shields is offering free Ferris wheel rides to all attendees as well. Angel, free Ferris wheel. You need a UNC hoodie? You go get that. You make up for it. You're basically making money because you get on the Ferris wheel for free.
Well, I mean, since I graduated, I haven't bought any apparel or gear as a fan, so
I'm surprised by that. That shocks me.
I have plenty from when I was a student there.
Because you went into the store and bought stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Now it's a little weird going into the store.
Why
wait,
is this guy?
You used to be here. Yeah.
Why are you here? Aaron texting in, I think what got Deion so riled up is the fact that they put too much stock into where the team was last year, and they're not really doing the work to find out what the team this year is bringing.
Because we didn't know what this team was bringing.
Right. How much can we know? We know Travis Hunter. We know Shedeur Sanders. We don't know a lot of big names.
We know it's not going to be a 1-11 season. We knew that.
Yeah. We knew it was going to be better.
And I don't know a lot of people are comparing it to last year because last year is kind of written off as, all right, that was just last year. This is a new era for them.
Dixon says, honestly expect CU to now destroy both Nebraska and CSU. I got to talk about CSU. I was there Saturday. And again, it's just, it feels like I say this every year. There's an opportunity for Colorado State. They're on national television. Yes, CBS Sports is a nationally televised. People arguing with me on that. It was full. I mean, I don't know if it wasn't a sellout, but there were a lot of people in the stands. The Mountain West commissioner's there. Conference talk, conference realignment talk certainly has CSU involved. And you put out a stinker of a game. I want to talk about that. Quarterback controversy. Obviously, that's near and dear to my heart because we do a lot with Clay Millen. All that and more. More Buffs talk. Rams talk. Oh, and it's Broncos Raiders week. Yeah, it's hate week here. We got a lot to get to. Short time to do it. We'll be right back.